You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the latest Race to Dubai show. And at the Shwani Open in Pretoria, George Coetzee heads a South African 1-2-3.
It's hard to describe with words, but I mean, this is my home club, and obviously having all my friends and family and all the members out here supporting me, it's a lot of extra pressure. But I decided to kind of turn it into kind of a momentum thing, and then it worked out beautifully, and I'm really happy.
We'll be heading off to South Africa to catch up with George later in the show. Plus, we'll hear from runner-up Jacques Blau after his stunning final round of 61.
For me, it's always good to have been contention in this big events, and coming down the stretch, obviously I have to make a couple of birdies, and I did, so it was my fun.
And we get a preview of the Madeira Islands Open in the company of former winner Ricardo Santos.
Santos de Serra, it's the kind of course adapt my game. You have to hit every single shot, driver, irons from the tee, and it's not a long course. Small greens, so fit my game.
Plenty to pack in as usual, so stay with us for the next 20 minutes or so. I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Richard Boxall. Richard, how are you?
I'm a little bit better, Rob. I was a bit iffy last week, but beginning to pick up. You'd be disappointed to know I actually lost my voice during the week.
Yes, I'm annoyed that I missed that.
Yeah, no, you did. Well, I tried calling you, but you weren't. But I couldn't hear you.
No, well, you're back, aren't you?
Yes,
you're back.
Yeah, back, and enjoyed watching the Shwani Open in Pretoria. Beautiful weather as well. Made me feel quite envious sitting at home when it was raining and horrible at home. And a real good win from George Coetzee. I thought he looked pretty solid all the way through.
South Africans normally strong on their home turf.
Well, since the co-sanctioned events have started out there, you've always fancied that the South Africans to do well. And it's mainly because, Robert, there's a lot of grain on the green, you know. And to start with, the Europeans weren't used to all this grain on the green. As time has moved on, I think they've settled into it much better. But I also think that the South Africans have improved a lot more, you know, with the European players coming along and bunting up their fields and making the fields harder.
Going against the grain for a large chunk of the final round was Craig Lee.
Yeah, he was, a chap over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, I think his game has improved immensely. He finished -9, 5 behind George Coetzee in the end, but he was moving along, Craig, but then just things didn't quite gel down those last, I'd say, 5 or 6 holes, really, for him.
But we'd like to speak to the winner, the latest winner on the European Tour on the Race to Dubai show, and this week is no exception. Let's go to South Africa and speak to George Coetzee, possibly a man with a hangover. Let's find out. How are you, George?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, you didn't answer the question, George. Hangover or no hangover?
I was too tired to really get proper... smashed if that's what you want to call it.
That's what we like to call it.
It was a fun night. I mean, the vibe at the course afterwards, and obviously having all the members, the friends, the family there, it was a good night, but luckily got to bed not too late.
When you're playing with everybody around you that knows you at the club that you know so well, all that pressure of people wanting you to do well sometimes can work against you. It obviously didn't.
No, I've actually experienced that a few times. We've had like 3 or 4 big events at Pretoria Country Club, and the expectation every year that we played there was just, it was almost too much. And this year I kind of decided, you know what, everybody's there to kind of support me and to push me on. They're not there to judge or to ridicule me when I hit bad shots. They're all there to support me, and I decided to kind of make sure that every time someone claps or cheers, I take it and I turn it into kind of momentum, because I look at it like from an English football point of view. Home teams always have a massive advantage. I mean, even Burnley beat Manchester City this weekend. So if you think about it in that aspect, if you just make sure that the crowd is there to support you and not to judge you for your mistakes, then it does push you on quite a bit.
How long have you been a member there or associated with the club?
Since I started playing golf. My first round of golf was there. I joined there when I was 10 years old, played at Junior Golf Week there, and on the last day of the Junior Golf Week, it was my first week of golf. The Friday was they call it the Gay Player Week, and the Friday was the tournament for all the age groups, and the 10 to 11 year olds played in a comp. They played 9 holes and the winner gets a trophy, and it was on my birthday that Friday, and I shot 49 and I won by 4 shots, and I was actually like a serious tennis player when I was 10 years old. I'd played tennis for like 7 years and I hadn't won anything, so I played golf for a week and I won a trophy. I was like, all right, that's it, I'm done with tennis, I want to play golf.
No, that was definitely the right decision, George, there's no question about that. But listen, tell me, there was...
I don't know, I could have turned into Nadal, I must say.
Well, you and I could have had a...
If I turn now, I will.
We could have had a little rally, George. You and I would have been quite interesting over the net. But I was sitting with somebody yesterday watching the golf, and that putt you had on the last hole, which was probably, 2 feet, I want to say, the chap I'm sitting next to said to me, why does he just go around and knock that in? And I said, no, trust me, your mind is working a little bit differently to, I'll just knock that in. It's a different story when you're there,
amazing,
isn't it?
It's amazing. That short little putt, you can overthink that and you can overanalyze it. By the time I got to the ball, I was like, whoa, why are my hands shaking? I got to just hold the putter softly, all right, just take it back slowly. Just concentrate, all right? So don't worry, it'll go in it, no matter what you do. And you got to dumb it down. But luckily, it wasn't too long a putt, and it was a pretty straight uphill putt.
I'm still giggling to myself for the thought of you and Boxall playing tennis. I'm thinking more baseline rally.
Yes, definitely. I'm way too lazy to run into the net.
I was thinking sweating, Robert.
Yes, well, indeed. What about when you were out there on the back nine and you must have been wary of what Jacques Blau had done?
I was really upset with him, mate. Because posting a number that so far... Like you start the day, you're thinking, okay, he's on 12 under, he's got one hole to go, probably make par, so you got to shoot at least 300 today to get into a playoff. And then a couple holes later, I see he makes birdie on 18. I'm like, that's great. Now we have to really go off today. And luckily, I had a pretty good stretch around the middle player, birdieing 6, 8, and 9, and 10. I guess that kind of made me feel like I was playing well and I didn't have to force the issue. The birdie will come.
Okay, plans. What are your plans now, George? When will I see you again?
I've got 2 more weeks to play. I've got the Investor Cup final this week. I needed a top 7 last week to qualify for the Investor Cup. So luckily, I did that. And then go to Morocco the week after that. Hopefully, I'll win both and get into the Masters. Otherwise, I've got a couple of weeks off.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to Morocco, so I shall see you there. Robert, what about yourself?
Well, I'm going to go to Morocco as well, so I'll be looking forward to seeing the pair of you. I'm going to bring a couple of rackets and try and arrange the match.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yes, I'll try and see if I can find a court. I don't think there's one around.
67 in the world rankings, George. Getting closer to that top 50.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate goal, I suppose, before April.
That'd be fantastic. Did you have any... goal set in January to do that by the time we get to the first major of the year?
There was a vague goal, but I wasn't really playing that well and I was still working at a bunch of things. And obviously, I thought to myself, you know, when it starts to click, I'll start making plans for kind of what I want to do this year. But up until now, it hadn't really clicked much. I'd have like one good round every week. So obviously, I'll look at it now and see what my plans are.
Great stuff, George. Listen, thank you very much for spending time with us. I know it's always difficult the day after you've just won, but really well done.
No, thank you very much, guys.
A good guy, George Coetzee, Rich. He can get hot-headed on the golf course.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing that he's quieting down, you know. He did used to get a little bit lively. You know, he's been threatening winning tournaments on the European Tour for a while. I know he has won before he's won this Shawnee Open. You know, he's got into playoffs, he's finished second, he's got close many, many times. And he's a good bloke, George. He's got a good sense of humour, likes a practical joke. He's normal, he likes the odd ale here and there, which is what we like to see.
I remember seeing you when you'd lose your temper out on the golf course.
Which wasn't that often.
No, to be fair to you, it wasn't that often, but I do remember you more than one occasion pulling the Velcro on the glove and then continuing to pull it to just rip the glove off.
Yeah, I could do that till it tore the skin on calf and on human, that sort of stuff. And also, a good friend of mine who I remember used to have a great fit was Joe Higgins.
Yes.
He'd put the Velcro nice and hard across on the glove like that, and then he'd pull the thumb and he'd keep pulling it until, boff, it came off. He'd pull the
just
thumb
pull
off.
The thumb right
well, not
off.
His actual thumb, but, you know, he'd pull the thumb leather off.
But just explain how much better you feel when you do something like that.
Oh, loads better. I mean, it's just like a...
Yeah.
That's not blowing my cold in your direction, but, you know, it's a lovely feeling.
Lots of players have different ways of releasing that, and you've got to get rid of it somehow. You know, McIlroy might want to chuck a 3-iron in the lake or, you know, rip the glove off your hand or whatever it is that looks stupid and violent at the time.
Yeah, I used to like kicking the bag. That was always relieved a lot of pressure, that one.
Oh, just hoof the bag?
Just full, as if you were volleying it into the back of the net. Top of the foot.
I've seen that done with a head loss and, of course, a club inside broke.
Oh, right. No, I've never done that. I used to hit the fat part of the bag, you know, with a waterproof.
Oh, yeah, the padded bit.
Padded bit. But I used to also kick the end of my putter. Do you know, you used to throw the putter down the end.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Miss it and then hit your ankle.
Or take your toenail off.
Yeah, I never did that one. But what I did do many times was miss it and then it caught and the putter came back and hit me straight in the ankle. And it used to... God, it was sore.
And then did you sort of say to yourself, you know, you deserved that, Rich?
Yeah, but I used to say, don't show anyone it hurts. Just keep walking. It could be bleeding. Don't look down.
On the back of George's beautiful win, we're talking about people losing their head, but I've seen some in my time, honestly.
Michel Tapia used to have some good ones.
Michel Tapia. He was a fantastic French guy that played on tour. He had the look, you know, the polterized.
Yeah. Juan Quiros was the other one.
Juan Quiros covered me in dirt. He tried to hit a chip off some bare dirt, and it was hot, sweating, and he duffed it. And then he just turned and hammered the club head into the ground sandwich, and a whole plume of muck and... stuff
great,
came my
it?
Way, yeah, just all over me, yeah.
He used to do it. I used to
remember. But a lovely guy, a lovelier guy you couldn't meet, Juan Quiros.
But you could see it building up. I remember watching him on the 18th at, that place we used to play the TPC, the dogleg over the.
St. Melian?
No, Germany. Dogleg right to left final hole. where Nicholas Fast won, I think. Anyway, it was a dog leg right.
Oh, yes, I remember the course.
Over the tree. Kyrgios was there, and he hit one off the tee, and it was left, and it was the head, he was rolling like that, you know, as he walked off. Mm-hmm. And we were all watching it, and the players, I was going, keep the camera on him. As he walked off, and he let people go ahead of him, and you know, when you can see the heckles coming up. And then out with the driver and just obliterate at the end of the tee.
I agree with you. It was a build with him. You could see it coming. Well, it's fun, you know, you talk about things that you see on the golf course that are fun and to look at. But for the player involved, obviously, what he's trying to do is get past the frustrated, annoying stage and then get to a place where he can rebuild again. And that's what it's all about. That wouldn't have been a problem for Jack Blau in the final round because, you know, if you shoot 61, pretty well everything has gone right. Let's hear his thoughts after a great effort on Sunday. He was talking to Mark Tompkins.
A little bit of luck on 9 with it left, and I had a swing way up and down for my third, obviously, for birdie. So I was quite happy with that. And then the rest after that, I mean, I made some good putts. So everything went great.
Tied 7th in Joburg a couple of weeks ago, outside the top 50 last week. But this is, you know, it's a great boost for you, isn't it, to be finishing this high up the leaderboard?
Big time. I mean, for me, it's always good to have been contention in these big events. And it's fun. I mean, coming down the stretch, obviously, I have to make a couple of birdies, and I did. So it was quite fun.
Got windy conditions there, no doubt about that, Richard. Jack Blau, what a round of golf.
It was, wasn't it? 61. Yeah, it's not bad if you can come in and shoot 61, sit in the clubhouse and watch them all start falling back behind you, which is great.
And he had a real chance, didn't he? He would have thought, if just a little bit of stuff goes my way here, I could sit here for an hour and then pick up the trophy.
I don't think he can moan, though, Rob. You know what I mean?
No, it's
a
great
round. Shoot 61. You know what it's like. We've all shot low rounds on the last day, and then you sit in the clubhouse. And all right, I remember it used to be the day we used to get back home in teletext you used to put on, and then you used to see how many people were dropping behind you. Do you
That's
remember
right.
as the day moved on?
And don't you dare stop. Keep going. Keep making those bogeys.
Keep making those bogeys.
That's right. What about Trevor Fisher Jr.? It could have been 2 in the bounce for him.
You know what? I think what happens, Robert, is unless you're an absolute top 5 player, top 10 player in the world rankings, I think eventually you just run out of steam.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's,
you know, I mean,
you have to get used to that.
That's why you have to admire the top players, how they can, you know, week in and week out, do it. You know, I think you just get to the point where you think you're so used to being on the leaderboard, things are going well, and then all of a sudden things don't quite work out, can't get on the leaderboard. Sound effects as well. What more could you want, Robert?
Wonderful sound effects. Yeah, wonderful. Right. But less breath for me would be nicer.
Less breath in that direction towards you.
Yes, less breath with your cold, because it's obviously it's quite a virulent one.
It's very virulent.
South African dominance, that's normal down in this part of the world. And it looked at one point that a young Spaniard might put a cog in the works. Adrian Otegi. Didn't quite happen. Let's hear from him.
I mean, I was hitting the irons very good, getting very close to the pins, and gave me some chances, and that's what I wanted, actually. And after that, I missed my tee shot on number 11, which caused a bogey, and then, dropped a couple of shots at the end, so, a bit disappointing, but I learned something from that, and I will be good for the rest of the season.
And I think he's going to have a good season, you know.
He poked his head sort of around the corner, if that's the way you want to put it, or the way I want to put it, during last season and the season before, very occasionally. You know, hasn't had the full playing rights, but at the events that, not all the events, but some of the events that he's played in, you've just seen his name appear up on the leaderboard. And watching him play yesterday down the last few holes, okay, didn't quite go his way. But, you know, in the holes, in the build-up towards that last 9 holes, he played pretty well.
Who've got the better young squad, the better young bucks coming up, the French or the Spanish?
Let me have a little think. I will probably go for French, I think.
Yeah, possibly.
Just.
It's pretty close.
Very close.
They've both got a great crop of young players coming up, so exciting times, really. I mean, you go through the Dubuissons and the
Levay,
Vatels and all those guys. Thomas Levay, I don't think he's a young one.
No, not Levay. Alexander.
Who? Oh, Levy, yeah. He's terrific, yeah. And then you've got
Thomas Levay as the older one looking after them, I suppose.
The granddad.
If you wanted to put him in.
I mean, friend of the show, Thomas Levay, grandfather.
Yes, grandfather
Le grand-père. top 10 in Pretoria, Richard.
Top 10 in Pretoria, Robert, were in 10th spot, Reese West from South Africa. Good week, actually, for Robert Rock, tied with Gregory Bordy. Adrian Otegi from Spain, tied 6th with Jaco Alhurs. Craig Lee was 3rd in a tie with Burmester van der Valt. 2nd was Jacques Blau. I think that's how you pronounce it. I hope it is, anyway. At 13 under. And George Kortsia, worthy winner, I think, at 14 under, 1-1.
Yeah, very good win on his home track with his people there watching him. A lot of pressure. Well done, George Kortsia. Tips-wise, I went for Andy Sullivan, tied 82nd, and Richard Sterney didn't seem to feature anywhere. I'm not sure he teed it up, actually. You went for David Howell, 23rd, and Darren Fickart, who only completed one round, Richard.
He did, but he shot 71, so he was going to be there. And then it's unfortunate if you get sort of injury or illness
in round two.
So I think that's a plus one for me. Though.
Definitely one up to you, but of course, nothing on it. That's why you did so well.
That's why I did well.
If something left your pocket, you wouldn't have been so clever.
No, you're quite right.
As for the European Tour's fancy race to Dubai game, congratulations to Tats10, who beat Dean by a mere 825 points to win this week's competition. His winning team had George Coetzee as the star player, alongside Craig Lee, Adrian Otegi, and Gregory Bourdie. Overall in the fancy race to Dubai, Dix 180 remains on top with 6.82 million points. So well done, Dix 180. Don't forget, pick your fancy team. Visit europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Now, in other news, Jordan Spieth won the Valspar Championship via a playoff. It was a fantastic performance, an amazing playoff, really. Patrick Reed, Sean O'Hare were the other two players, and they had to go several holes. In the end, a wonderful birdie two from Jordan Spieth at the 17th gave him the victory. His second win at the age of 21 joins only three other players who've ever done that, which is Tiger Woods, Robert Gomez, and Sergio Garcia.
Well pulled out of the air, Robert.
Yeah, there we go.
Was it written down on your sheet, or was it?
Did you remember that from last night? It is on my sheet here, funny enough. Good performances from the Europeans. Yes, Henrik Stenson, 4th. Brian Davis tied 10th. Lee Westwood was 17th. Ian Poulter, 24th. Ian Poulter played some good stuff again this week. He's kind of waiting, like Westwood, like Davis, like not so much Stenson, to string it all together. Now, top 10s, Richard. Race to Dubai standings, please.
OK, race to Dubai standings. 10th spot's Mark Warren. Andy Sullivan is now in 9th. Gary Stahl is 8th. 7th is Louis Oosthuizen. 6th is Bernd Wiesberger. Brandon Grace is 5th. Annibal Lahiri is 4th. 3rd is Ross Fisher. Rory McIlroy is 2nd. And still leading the way from the end of last year is Danny Willett, care of his win down there in South Africa.
Coetzee is up to 15th in the race to Dubai standings. So that's a big jump for him. And the world rankings top 10, Richard.
OK, Robert, in 10th spot, Justin Rose. 9th is Dustin Johnson. Garcia is 8th. Jim Furyk in 7th. 6th is Jordan Spieth. Jason Day is 5th. 4th, Adam Scott. 3rd is Henrik Stenson. Bubba Watson is now 2nd, but still leading the way, and rightfully so is Rory McIlroy.
Thank you very much, Richard Boxall. Now, next event on the European Tour is the Madeira Islands Open. And one man who knows it well is former champion, Ricardo Santos. And he told Mark Tompkins what the players can expect.
Madeira, it's kind of tournament I will like and enjoy it every season, so I hope this season I can enjoy it like 2012.
I was going to say, as a former winner of the tournament, I presume it's one you always look forward to on the calendar in the hope that you can get another title there.
Well, if I play like I played the last few weeks and all the few putts, I think I have quite a good chance. Just keep my game on this level, and of course you have to wait for the scores, but you know, I feel good. I feel more confident now than when I finished the season last year. And so that's the most important thing. And then we'll see.
And of course, last year, the weather played a major part as well, didn't it, with the tournament reduced to just two rounds?
Yeah, definitely. It's a shame last year because with just two rounds, the weather is really bad. I hope this year it's probably better weather.
And just finally, as far as your game goes, how does the course that you play in Madeira, how does that suit your game, and how do you feel your game is adapting at the moment to playing there next week?
Yeah, definitely. The Santo de Serra, it's the kind of course adapt my game. You have to hit every single shot, driver, irons from the tee, and it's not a long course. A small greens, so fit my game.
Good luck next week.
Thank you.
It's a funny course, that, right on top of the mountain there in Madeira. It's high up. Sometimes you can get fog, Richard, there, and it can delay play, but it's very up and down dale.
It is. It was a little bit like, you know, weather-wise. Do you remember Montagel?
Yes.
Which is a place which I believe you have victory, don't you?
No, I didn't.
What are you at in 27
World record 9 holes. World record 9 holes. Boring. But it was there. It was there in Montagel. You're quite right. You could putt there on the putting green, the cloud would come across and you couldn't see where you're putting.
That's right.
So yes, a bit like that.
A little bit like that, but very fiddly. But, you know, if you can play there, play there.
It was a two-round event. Daniel Brooks won last year. Have you ever played in a two-round event?
No, I played in less than that, actually. I played at...
Did you play Slaley Hall,
Slaley
the one-rounder?
Hall, when I started. A jumbo jet, 747 I started, and got called off, got a bag of sand for it. It was about five over after six, or five, something like that. And then that came in.
Everyone got a bag
Everybody
of sand, didn't they?
Got a bag of sand, which is £1,000 to anyone that's listening.
Bag of sand, rhyming with grand.
Grand, yeah. Rio.
But actually, when you look at it, most of your events were two-rounders.
Well, most of them were about a grand, that's for sure. Robert, even at 53, he's trying to still puncture me with horrible spears. It's amazing. You'd think it would come to an end, but it never does.
Give us a sense of the field, Richard.
All right, well, I can tell you that Javier Ballesteros is playing. Pedro Figueiredo from Lisbon. Alistair Forsyth's playing. Ricardo Santos. Bradley Dredge, and I see him back playing. Yarmo Sandlin, haven't seen him for a long time. He's going to have a go out there, as is Richard Finch. It's a good opportunity, Robert, for anybody to get an exemption to help yourself out on the European Tour. A win is a win. The field is not mega, but there's, you know, you've still got to get it past the line, you've still got to win, so it's a good chance for somebody to pick up a few euros and get themselves exempt on the European Tour.
Goodness me, it's very difficult to pick a winner this week. I know you had such a successful week last week, well, but I'm going to give you another go.
You're going to let me have another go? All right, I'll tell you who I'll go for. I'll go for the young chap that's just come out of school. You guess who that is?
Jordan Spieth?
No, he's not playing in Madeira.
Oh, right,
enough.
OK, go on then.
Renato Paratori from
Young
Italy.
Young Italian. Do you think he's taken the mantle from Matteo Manassero a little bit?
Well, I think at the moment it's not difficult because Manassero's got trouble with his game and he's trying to change his swing and hit it further, and he's in a right mess at the moment, Manassero.
Well, he needs to fix that, doesn't he? I'm gonna counter that with Victor Roux. You know, we talked about the young Spaniards and the young French players. I'm going to have a little bit of Victor Roux. He's Saint Nom La Bretèche, that's where he's from.
I like some non-protest.
Lovely, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it for this week. Well done to George Coetzee. A fantastic victory for the South African on his home patch. We will be back next week to reflect on the Madeira Islands Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall...
Bye.
And myself, Robert Lee, have a great week.